Minehead Baptist Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, the 30th of October, 2022. Hello and welcome. Thank you once again for joining me. My name's James and I'm the web guy here at NBC. This week, our service focused on the work of Christians Against Poverty, and we had a guest speaker, Robin Stamp. But we'll go and join Richard as he's introducing the service.
I'll say good morning again. Good morning and welcome to Minehead Baptist Church. My name is Richard, just in case you don't know me by now, and it's lovely to be able to welcome you this morning. I suppose I have a few notices, but I have a lot of notices, so brace yourself. A reminder, we are at Lee Abbey next weekend, a lot of us. So there will be services here at 10 and 4 on Sunday, as usual. And we'll be joining in communion, sort of collectively, both here in church and at Lee Abbey. Which does mean there'll be no youth club on Friday night. I'll put that notice out now. The leadership nominations are down on the stage, down there. If you'd like to have a look, for our church meeting, 2 weeks on Tuesday. Don't ask me the date. 15th. But it'd be great if you could prayerfully discern if it's right that we appoint and elect the three people who've been nominated to leadership. Following a meeting on Monday with Tommy Pratt, the leadership have agreed for him to visit church in 2 weeks' time, so the weekend of the 11th to the 13th of November. So he's going to spend some time with the youth and young people, and so your prayers would be appreciated as we continue on that journey. Operation Christmas Child is happening again this year. Under the Rainbow is registered to collect the shoeboxes, and I think we have some in church today, shoebox. They're out in the foyer. So if that's something you'd like to take part in, please do. Today is Bible Sunday for the Bible Society, where we celebrate and promote the sharing of the Bible. And so there's Peter and Catherine have provided some cakes in the hall afterwards for donations towards the Bible Society's Ukraine appeal. There is a light party on at the Hub this afternoon for those under 12 at 4 to 6. I know they're looking forward to seeing you there. And an encouragement to pray. Adam spoke last week of the prayer walk they're doing tomorrow evening. So if anyone would like to pray or join in, please do go and speak to Adam, who's over there, who might even wave to you. There you go. Someone told me something very important earlier. I hear a rumour that we have some birthdays today, do we? Oh, he's over there. How old are you today, Jack? 10? Double figures? I know it's Catherine's birthday as well today. I won't ask how old you are. 12 as well. Yeah. Jamie, how old are you on? When's your birthday? Tuesday. So we've got Jamie, Jack, Jamie, Catherine. Jamie's 12 on Tuesday. So Jack, Jamie, and Catherine. Anyone else? No. So shall we sing happy birthday then? Shall we pray as we come to worship this morning? Father, we thank you that we can gather together. Father, we thank you that we can gather together in freedom and worship you. And Father, we pray that your Spirit would be present here among us. Father, speak to us this morning, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Brilliant. Thank you. We're going to say a psalm together, Psalm 113. Get the words on the screen, and I will say the odd number verses and ask you to say the even number verses. Let's stand. Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Lord be praised, both now and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to the place where it sits, the name of the Lord is to be praised. The Lord is exalted over all the nations, his glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God, the one who sits enthroned on high, who stoops down to look on the heavens and the earth? He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. He seats them with the princes of their people. He settles the barren woman in her home as a happy mother of children. Praise the Lord.
In case you hadn't noticed this morning, we're talking about Christians against poverty. This banner might be a clue if you read your notice sheet. So it gives me great pleasure to introduce Robin Stamp, who I think might be known to some of you already. And are you a debt coach? Is that the right title?
Yes.
So, and you're going to give us some information, or tell us a bit about CAP now, aren't you?
A bit about CAP, yeah. Indeed. All right, thanks. Lovely to see you all. It's really, really lovely to see some old friends, some old faces. Actually, I think there's probably some antique faces amongst you as well. But lovely to see some people that I haven't seen as well. Who saw any rainbows this morning on the way in? Yeah? Absolutely fabulous. We live over in West Quantock's Head. And from the moment we left home, in fact, from before we left home, all the way until we got here, there was a rainbow over West Somerset all the way through until we got and looked over Minehead. And, you know, rainbows are a real message of hope, isn't it? It's something, somehow we can be in this dark, cloudy place and then there's a rainbow and there's hope. And we look to have something to look forward to. And my message today is that there's something to look forward to, even if there are huge, big clouds that are hanging over you. Can I ask the back desk there if they can press a button to put up the first slides? I've got a few slides. Now, I can't see that, so I'm going to mess with everything, and I'm going to move along there so that I can see what's up there as well.
It's on the screen. There, look, in front of you.
Oh, I didn't need to do that. You're so organised. Isn't that fabulous? Oh, well, I won't move back again. I'll stay there. That's fabulous. Okay, do you want to put the first slide on? So, Christians Against Poverty, for those that don't know, is a charity. The guy that you're seeing in front of you there is a chap called John Kirkby. And he was a successful businessman, and he worked in financial services, and then everything went wrong in his life. And he found that he lost his job. And because he lost his job, he then couldn't pay his mortgage and he lost his home. And as a result of that and the other stresses that came at that point, his marriage broke down. And he ended up living in a bedsit with his two young daughters, crying out to God for help. And that moment of grief and horror actually is what started Christians Against Poverty. So he sat in his bedsit and had a computer on the side and actually started Christians Against Poverty in 1996. Do you want to change? I'll wave every time I want to change. There. So Christians Against Poverty now covers the whole country and has debt centres around the country. And the debt centres are there to help people that have found themselves in debt.
But also, they found that people that are facing those situations suffer with a lot of other things as well. So across the years, they've also started up doing what they call life skills. So life skills is again operated through local churches, and it helps people to budget better, to cook on a budget, to actually how to manage life when things are tight. And churches just like this one offer life skills courses. The closest one here is in Taunton, and life skills courses operate around the country. The debt centres, of which your closest one is in Wiveliscombe, run by the Wiveliscombe Community Church, for which I'm a member, covers this patch here. But they're around the country as well. There's also CAP Money, which is a budgeting course that is also run around the country. It has been run here in the church here in the past, but I think there's a need for some people to put their hands up and say, we'd like to get involved in it, to actually run things here as well. The other thing that is run is job clubs. So again, to help people that have found themselves in desperate situation to actually get back into the market of working again. Can I have the next slide, please? So the idea is that CAP operate from a head office up in Bradford and actually support local churches in helping the people around them. That model has now spread out to New Zealand, to Australia, to Canada and to America, and it's helping people around the globe now. In the next slide. But the best place in the world that it helps people is the beautiful West Somerset. So the great news is that we can help people right on our doorsteps, right here. Do you think there's any people on your doorstep around us right here that could have some help with debt situations? Anybody think so? Yep, yep. The chances are, in this room, there are those amongst you that are in that situation now themselves. It's not just the other person. Is actually right here. I cover West Somerset myself, and we now have, I'm looking after people in Watchet and in Willardson, and a couple of people in Minehead. I'm seeing a new person with Ian, who's coming out with me as a befriender on Wednesday to see a client that's been taking a little while to get through. And then I have another lady coming with me who's a befriender that's actually works over from Watchet, but she's coming out to Minehead because we don't have any lady befrienders here as well. But we've seen another new client there. And then Richard is going to see his first clients actually next week in Porlock. And he's going out with Andrew to see somebody. So there are people being helped all the way along this coast here. And the chances are that there are hundreds, nay thousands, possibly more, that need that help as well. So I'm going to be talking a bit more in a bit, after some more worship and after the kids go out, to give you a bit more of a message about that. I think I've got just one more slide, which is purely and simply just a lady that was helped by CAP. This work is life transformational. People that are in a place of no hope whatsoever can smile again. And what's even better, they can smile again because many of them, through that process, have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as well. As well. I'm going to leave you there, pass back across to Richard, and I'll see you in a bit.
Thanks, Robin. Well, it's strange being over here. Hang on, my brain isn't working. We'll try again. Jess, so have you ever heard anyone say, that's just what the doctor ordered? We probably don't say it much, do we? But I suspect, yes, Jamie, you have. Yes. There we go. So we've got to a good start then. What do they mean by it? They usually mean that something happened which was exactly what they wanted or needed, don't they? We might think a well-needed holiday, or I don't know, you can probably fill in your own desires or wishes. Where does it come from? Well, of course, it comes from going to the doctors, doesn't it? When you're sick, you go to the doctors. And when you can get through to them, usually, now. They look at you and write on a piece of paper. I would have had an example, but I've not been to the doctors for about 10 years, so don't have a prescription to hand. And they write a prescription of what you need, don't they? So usually a medicine, usually indecipherable to anyone but a pharmacist or them. And it tells us what kind of medicine we need to take to get better. And after leaving the GP, we go to the pharmacy and get it filled out. We might well say that's just what the doctor ordered. Possibly that's just if we were in a film, though. I'm not sure anyone actually says it. But when God created us, he wanted us to be happy and well. He didn't intend for us to be unhappy and sick. He never wanted people to be crippled or blind. But sadly, something happened. And that something was sin. When Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, they changed life for all of us. But God still loved us, and he had a plan to make us well again. And Jesus knew God's plan too. So in a little while, Robin is going to be speaking on Luke chapter 4. And it's a story of Jesus when he was in Nazareth, on the Sabbath in the synagogue. When he stood up to read the scriptures, he was handed the book of Isaiah, and he went through it and found the part that said, "The Lord's Spirit has come to me and has chosen me to tell the good news to the poor. He has sent me to free the prisoners, give sight to the blind, and to set everyone free from their suffering." And when he finished reading, he handed the book back to the man who was in charge and sat down. And everyone in the place was looking at Jesus and waiting to see what he would say. And Jesus made a big claim in that moment. He said to them, "What you have just heard me read has come true today. Change is coming." And what did Jesus mean? He meant that he was the one who came to make us happy and whole, the way God intended for us to be. He came to heal the sick and the lame. He came to make the blind to see and free us from sin. And so if we want to have what Jesus came to give, we must put our trust in him and do what he has told us to do.
Amen. So, brilliant. Thanks, Richard. As the kids go out to their groups, we're going to take our offering, by the way, in this next song, before I forget. If you're visiting, or you're not prepared, don't worry, let the basket go by. This is just an opportunity for those of us who are regular here to worship the Lord in what we give. I'm going to stand and sing, "Who am I that the highest King should welcome me?"
Probably one of the most well-known scriptures, actually it's one of the most well-known scriptures, probably, that Cap particularly adopts and I love personally, is taken from Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. You probably will all know it. But it's Jesus that's speaking these words. And it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour." You know, I remember speaking these words the first time, I don't know, probably 10 or 15 years ago. And I was really a little worried about speaking them, actually, because the first few lines there, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me." And it felt a bit pompous, if you like. "The Spirit of the risen Lord is upon me." But you know, the reality is that we are Christians here, yes? What on earth does that mean? It means we're meant to be Christ here on earth. We are Jesus walking the streets. Our words to people are the words of Jesus, the words of hope, or at least they can be. I'd like you to just close your eyes for a moment, just before I start to speak, and to actually just repeat the words for yourself. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. Please repeat that. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray. Father, would you fill your body? Would you come right now by your Spirit? Would you help me to bring words of love and of hope to these people? But more than that, Lord, will you stir each one of us to bring words of hope and love and freedom to the people we come into contact with after this day? In Jesus Christ's name, I pray. Amen. 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 So, shall I put the first slide on, please? So, the subject of today's talk is lament to hope. Lament's a funny thing. You know, for most churches, we have lots of services that are talking about rejoicing. But not very often do we like to lament very much or to dwell on the not-so-happy stuff. We'd prefer to move over that stuff. We'd prefer to sort of grin and bear it and hope that everything is okay. Back during the wartime, there was this poster that went out. Keep calm and carry on. And I think that's how a lot of us operate in most of our lives, actually. Horrible things happen in our lives, and we sort of grimace and we hope that it will disappear. We just carry on going. And actually, almost, that's what we sort of preach a message of, is it'll be okay. Yeah, don't worry about it. It'll be okay. But you know, for an awful lot of people, it just isn't okay. And the Bible is just full, actually, of verses about lamenting. It's full about the times when things aren't great. We think we've got to keep a stiff upper lip. Well, I'll tell you what, when the people that I speak to, when I go out as a cap deck coach, have gone a long way past keeping a stiff upper lip. Their lives are destroyed. They just are at the bottom, and as far as they're concerned, there's no hope. This morning I want to explore just a little bit about lamenting, because it's in the Bible for a reason. And we always want to sort of go, oh, we rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Great verses, great lines, rejoice. But you know, we can also got things like the words of Micah that says, lament with a doleful lamentation, saying, we are utterly ruined. Anybody watched the news at all recently? Life isn't great. And actually, that poster was at a time of war, when there was the other poster that went, Britain needs you. Well, I'll tell you what, the world needs you to bring some hope, but also to start by praying and lamenting for what has happened at the moment. Let me put the next verse up. Actually, we'll move to that in a second. But you know, there are verses that talk about Jesus weeping. Jesus wasn't always the happy guy. He wept because he saw the needs of those around us. The psalmist
kept on crying out. I think it's said something like a third of the Psalms are actually laments. Certainly 40 plus of them are laments. They're going over the things, oh, it's hard. And then we come to Jeremiah. Jeremiah was around just at the time where, well, Jeremiah's first call was repent. Because if you don't repent, if you don't come right with God, we're ruined and we're going to be taken over by the Babylonians, which then happened. And then he wrote Lamentations, which, let's face it, is probably the book that most of us don't always want to go to and read. It's not all joy. This verse comes out of it. My eyes fail from weeping. I'm in torment within my heart. My heart is poured out onto the ground because my people are destroyed. Jeremiah didn't bottle up his feelings and maintain a stiff upper lip. He cried out, who to? To God? He did. You know, sometimes actually getting real, rather than pretending it's all okay, is at the very time when you can meet with God, when you're real, in those hard places. UK poverty is a real reason to lament. It really, really is. It is not good. Next slide, please. Earlier this year, we brought out our client report. And the client report is made up of a load of statistics about what our clients say their situation is like. And it makes for lamenting reading. There's too much detail on here, and I'm not going to go through every single bit of it because it would just bore you, probably. But 75% of our clients said that that their debt situation impacted their relationships. 47% sacrificing meal, 61%, and I can't actually read what it says up there, couldn't afford a weather-appropriate clothing. There's a winter coming. A lot of us, a lot of them, will be wearing weather-appropriate clothing in their lounges because they're scared to death of putting the heating on because they just can't afford it. They just can't afford it. The statistic on the bottom of the page there is horrifying. What's even more horrifying by the statistic, and you may not be able to read it, is the fact that last year when we did a survey, it said, horribly, that 28% of those that come to CAP have attempted or considered suicide. That was a year ago. This statistic says that 36% of those that we help have considered or attempted suicide. A third of them. It's just so horrific. There's too much busyness on these slides, but I put them up there just for a few reasons, because often people can think that people that are in debt, well, it's their own fault. They shouldn't have taken out debt. They should have looked after themselves. They should have worked harder. They shouldn't be in the situation that they are. I never did. But I'll tell you what, I've been in debt. And about the rest of it. If you could see it, this gives you some of the reasons, the top reasons why people found themselves in debt. The top one being mental health, the next one being low income, and then relationship breakdown and then budgeting. Budgeting was 9%, which you might say was, well, that applies to it all. Further down the list there is bereavement, people that pass away. The next slide, please. Something that I find quite amazing, really, is that people, when they're in these debt situations, they don't ask for help very quickly. People wait before they ask for help. And actually, 25% of people wait for 1 to 2 years before they ask for help. 25%
wait 3 years plus before they ask for help. Next slide. Why? Well, the first thing is that 69% of our clients sort of think, I'm going to sort it out. That's why they wait. Because they think, they hope, if you like, they keep calm and carry on, hoping that it will sort itself out or they'll sort it out. 66% are embarrassed. Another big percentage are they're ashamed. They feel guilty. They feel afraid. Those are the reasons why they don't ask for help. But rather shockingly, and rather something that we, all of you, can do to help, is that 52% of them said they don't know where they can get help. And 43% thought that nobody could help them. So they just suffer in silence. Seven million people in April said that they had missed meals. 3.8 million people were falling behind with their bills. And we haven't started this big problem, this problem we're all facing now. This winter is going to be really... These details could be doubled next year. Easily. Now, all of this lamenting is great. But what's the point of it? The point of it is getting close to God and actually asking and recognising that God can help. He's willing to help. He wants to help. And when we turn to him, we can get help. This scripture from Lamentation says, I remember my affliction and my wanderings, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet... this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassion never fails. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Next slide, please. I'm going to play you a little story about a chap called Sid. And let's go ahead, let's play it. You'll hear a little bit of the life of someone.
Looking back on it, it's actually quite frightening. And I'm not a guy that frightens easily, but that, looking back on it, it is actually quite frightening that he got to that point. My name's Sid. I'm 58 years old. In my younger life, I was well into sport, cricket, rugby, boxing. Used to get paid for playing cricket and rugby. Actually playing cricket with Ian Botham, Graham Hick, Tom Moody, virtually half the England side were at Worcester at that time. I seriously injured myself, which meant that my sporting career was not over, but it would never be professional as I wanted it to be. I actually had an accident at work and something fell on my head. And they took me up and gave me an x-ray. And this lovely little chap came through and he said, oh, we found something that's not there, not supposed to be there. And I went, oh, you mean a brain? And he said, no, you've got a tumour. And I said, no, I'm indestructible, me, I don't get things like that. Can't happen to me. Brain tumour was operated on April 2015. Pretty much a year later, was diagnosed with Crohn's, which is quite a nasty stomach disorder. Admitted to hospital, and just before I was admitted to hospital, my mother passed away, who I've been looking after for a few years, quite suddenly as well. It turned out I was suffering from a very severe depression, because of what had been going on. And obviously during that time as well, I was getting into debt without actually knowing I was getting into debt. I was on some quite heavy-duty medication and it just spiralled. So pretty much everybody you could owe money to, I owed money to. the nurse came into the room and she said, "Can I get you anything?" I said, "No, just shut the door and let me die. I'd had enough. The will to fight it had just gone." So they looked after me in hospital and fixed the broken bits again and got me up and running. And when I came out, someone referred me or said to me, "If you've got problems, give these people a ring," and gave me a card. And when I got home is when I made the phone call to CAP. I tried to collect everything that was relevant to what was going on, so letters and bills and all the correspondence. And everything was explained, which puts you so much at ease because you actually, for the first time, know what's going on. And then Andrew said to me, "I'll give you some..." He actually gave me a load of prepaid envelopes. "If anything comes, send this off to CAP." And for the first time, think, crikey, there's a way out of this, you know. It was like a weight being lifted off my shoulders. Brilliant. That's when Andrew dropped the bombshell. "Did you fancy coming to church on Sunday?" he said. So I said, "No, all right, no, that'd be nice. That'd be nice, come along." And I turned up knowing two people, Andrew and Chris. When I left, 20-plus people... "See you next week, see you, have a good week, see you next week." Oh, I'm going, crikey, it's a bit different, isn't it? They're all very nice. That was 4 years ago, but maybe a bit longer. And apart from the times when I've been in hospital, I've not missed a Sunday. I see things totally differently now. My whole attitude is different now. I wake up every day, and every day is now a lovely day. Without CAP, Gary, Andrew and Chris and the church, I actually would rather not think about where I would be now. It really has made that much of a difference to my life. It's that sense of belonging and the sense of friendship. To me, it is priceless.
One story. Locally, there are similar stories. As I say, I've been helping a lady here in Minehead, and her life has not been great. I can't tell you too much about that story because you never know, you might find the lady amongst you. And that's her story to tell. But you know, you're all sitting there, you're all coming here. How you are, how you treat those that walk into these doors really can change their lives. It's every one of our responsibilities. This guy said his life is transformed. He now knows Jesus Christ as his Lord and Saviour. There's a lady, you know that scripture earlier on, and talked about that the Spirit of the living God is on me to preach the good news. One of the lines there is to bring sight to the blind. One of the churches that run CAP down in Exeter, there's a lady who was blind that came to CAP, and her debts were cleared. And when she came into church, she was prayed for. That lady can now see. Thank you. The lady can see, and what's more, that lady is now helping others with CAP.
That's real. This isn't just a story, it's real. All of these stories are real, real people. There are real, real people out there right now that don't, they cannot open the mail when it comes through the letterbox. It's too scary. That's normal. I trot along on my first meeting, my second meeting, to see clients. I'll say, well, in order to help you, we need to have a look at what your situation is. So have you got a bank statement? Have you got the bailiff's letter that they've sent you that they're going to seize your goods? They've burnt it, or they just haven't opened it. These are real lives. These are real lives. I didn't notice you changed it. But there's three new sort of concepts for CAP, which are, it is all about transformed lives. Transformed lives. Real people whose lives were terrible coming into places of freedom and coming into places where they can feel like they're a member of a family. That's thriving churches. Churches that are reaching the needs of the poor around them. They're running CAP money courses, all of the different CAP ministries and things. But churches just like yours, you're doing so many things already. But that's what we believe in, because that's what changed was the world. And we want just a little thing to end UK poverty. We're doing our little bit. I remember hearing a story about the person that talks about was overwhelmed when they walked along the beach and found that the beach was just covered in dead starfish. And they picked one up and started throwing them into the water, and the person they were walking with said, why are you bothering? What's the point? They're going to die. And he said, well, not for that starfish. That one made it back to the water. And that's what it's like for these people. We can touch lives. We can really, really help. Some of you right here may be in a debt situation, may be in a hopeless situation, or you may know someone. In fact, I should think there's a good chance, there's a reasonable few of you that know somebody that are in this situation or is going to face it this year. That telephone number is the number to phone to ask CAP for help. Somebody phones that number, they then look in their diary to see where I have space and other people have space, and they'll come out to their homes and actually start the process of moving them into a debt-free situation. If you would like, there's a little sort of thing, if you are into big technology, you can scan that with your phone. You can grab your phone out at the moment and scan the screen, and it will take you to our website, and you can fill out a prayer of lament yourself to be part of this thing. I've got a book here, which is called Nevertheless, written by John Kirkby. And it's the story of CAP. It's the story. I can't remember when it was last updated, but there's a bunch more story, a bit like the Bible. There's more that happens after. If you would like one, we've got some copies out on the stand out there. But I'd like to ask you unreservedly, can you help? I know that each one of you here is going to face bigger bills this year. But actually, CAP, we're going to be overwhelmed. We're not going to be able to meet the needs. We would like to be. The chances are we won't have the funds to be able to meet the needs, and we won't have the people on the ground to meet the needs. Probably there's a need. We have this, I operate, but it's only one day a week. Andrew, my co-debt coach, operates one day a week. In Taunton, we have two different people that also operate one day a week. So actually, within the area, we've sort of got a full week worth of people. The reality is, most likely in the next year or so we could do with a CAPSET centre just here in Minehead on its own. Probably. Don't know. I'd like to ask you, can you help in some shape or form? If it's prayer, then that's fantastic. If you could put your hand in your pocket and give financially, then that's fantastic too. Unless people do, we can't carry on. CAP totally rely upon giving. Nobody, we cannot claim money from the government to do this stuff, other than by gift aid. I put on some of your seats one of these life changer forms. Please consider, and I know too many people ask for your money. This will change lives. If you can spare a penny, doesn't matter how much, doesn't matter, even a pound, doesn't matter at all. Beyond that, there's actually, as I said, Ian and Richard are coming out with us to act as befrienders, to go and actually meet with local people that are in these debt situations. And the idea is that they come alongside them and will be the people that would be able to bring them into your community. We could do with more people that would put their hand up and do that. Particularly locally here, I don't have a lady in Minehead that would come out and do that and fulfil that role. So if you would be prepared to be that person, then that would be absolutely fantastic. Beyond that, as I said, in the past, you'd run CAP money courses. It would be fabulous. Again, there'd be people in need of budgeting help. If you think you could help or even run them, then please speak to your leaders. Speak to your leaders. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that we're not alone, that you are a great big God. You're a great big God that is capable of impossible things. Father, would you use us, your body, to bring hope to the people around us? And Lord, would you just be with all of the people that are involved in CAP already and give them strength as they face what is going to be a hard time ahead. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Fall afresh on your body. Anoint your body right here to proclaim good news and hope. For we pray it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. I will be around. I'm going to be out by the stand at the end as you disappear. Please come and talk to me. Thank you all. God bless.
Brian, I'm going to put the next two songs in the other way, although different order, if that's all right. Next two. We're going to pray now, and I think it's just appropriate to pray for CAP and the work they do. Father God, we thank you for the work of CAP and a powerful witness to wider society of what churches can do when we work together. We thank you that last year 13,500 people were supported out of debt by CAP, and that nearly 2,000 people became debt free. Thank you. Thank you for the 300 debt centres that operate around our country, 124 life skill groups, 116 job clubs, providing both practical and emotional support, completely free and open to all. Thank you for the many church premises that host these services to the public, and for the expert and professional support that's provided by over 400 CAP staff. Thank you for the 4,000 frontline volunteers motivated by the love of Jesus and a belief in the power of Jesus to help people find freedom from debt. And we pray for this organisation and the ongoing work that it does on a daily basis in shaping and influencing policies that affect those in need. Through campaigns, petitions and conversations and research, we pray for the kind of positive change and justice that we want to see in this country. Thank you, Lord, for the influence that CAP has in Westminster. And we just pray now for the logistics of resourcing essential equipment such as a cooker and fridge or washing machine and heating or even a bed to sleep on. And for 61% of those who come to CAP, there's a need of decent clothing. Pray for the logistics of helping them. We ask you to help those who hide their serious money problems, often through a sense of shame or guilt, and delay asking for help. We pray for the client's strength in some cases to limit their income only to essentials, and for their release from habits or other financial draining issues that are non-essential to life. We pray for those who suffer ill health, loss of income, family breakup, fleeing domestic violence, or having an inability to prioritise finances. We ask for the way back to life in all its fullness. And Lord, as we just heard, 36% of clients saying that they've considered suicide as a way out. We pray for the mental well-being of those who come to CAP facing debt issues. But Lord, we've heard some good news this morning. We thank you for around 9,000 clients have come to Jesus Christ through this work in the last 26 years of CAP's ministry. Nearly 9,000 clients. That's amazing. Lord, we thank you. And we pray now for the further training of volunteers, for Ian and Richard. We ask your blessing on the thousands of fundraising events that's organised each year. Lord, help us to receive the challenge this morning to support those who are ministered to through CAP. Amen. It's over 200 years since now that the Bible Society has been working to bring the Bible to life, to help people around the world engage with it, relate to it, and make sense of it. In some parts of the world, bringing the Bible to life focuses on translation or distribution. Bible Society works in over 200 countries around the world. And they focus on leadership training, on literacy programs, on interfaith dialogue. Closer to home in England and in Wales, we focus on advocacy, schools outreach, and devotional resources, such as daily bread and things like that. So let's pray for the work of Bible Society, shall we, for a few moments as well, as it's Bible Sunday. Father, we pray for your protection and on the production facilities of the printed word, and also the facilities that produce the audio and visual and digital formats. We pray for the distribution networks that take the Bible to places that, Lord, the Bible would otherwise be hard to come by. And we pray for the literacy work that is done, empowering people to read using the Bible as a reference. And we pray for your word in every society. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that it challenges ill-informed thinking. And Lord, we pray that the Bible will be received as a positive force for change wherever it is distributed around the world. We lift to you countries where Christianity is spreading: China, Africa, Middle East, Jordan, Egypt, Syria, Morocco, Palestine, Lebanon, the Gulf, Turkey, Algeria, Pakistan, Iraq, Israel. All these places where your word is desperately needed, and we pray you will strengthen the work of the Bible Society as it supports the churches in these countries in sustaining its witness and presence. We pray for the work of the Bible Society in areas where it is politically volatile. Just ask for your protection and encouragement and Lord's blessing as they seek to further your kingdom. Pray for wisdom for Chinese Christians who are dealing with complicated situations in their country at this moment in time. Pray for the Bible teachers and church leaders that they will stand firm for biblical truth despite the pressures. And Lord, we pray for the work of the Bible Society in the Gulf in distributing John's Gospel and the New Testament in 14 different languages during the World Cup as it starts in Qatar this month. Lord, the scriptures will be given, the scriptures that are given to migrant workers in Qatar. And Lord, that those who are struggling to make ends meet, migrant workers, Lord, will be comforted by your word that's given to them. We pray for those visiting football fans as they receive John's Gospel in these different languages. Lord, we ask that this massive scripture distribution over the World Cup will have a massive impact on those who come to this country to watch football. Lord, may your word be opened and read. Lord, we pray that the World Cup will be an amazing evangelistic event. So we ask your blessing on those who are witnessing and giving away scriptures during the World Cup. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Lord, the clouds are gathering. Fire of judgment, this is a lament. I chose this song because it picks up this idea of us crying out to God because of the dark stuff that's happening around society. So it's part of our prayers, Lord, or part of our prayers in the morning. We cry out, "Oh Lord, the clouds are gathering and judgment burns." And yet it finishes, "Lord, your glorious cross will tower triumphant in this land." Amen? It will. Let's stand and sing.
Before the service began, and it's important you know it's before it began, Tanya brought a word actually of covenant to the men of the church. But as we've heard, Robin, I also want to say it's for a lady here to specifically respond to that befriending request that Robin gave. And you'll see why in a moment, I hope, and by the grace of God, pray. Tanya said to me, actually, this is about David's covenant, about the reality of the fact that God never gave up, never turned his back. Always with David. Always, always, always. And generations after David had died, you can hear that in 2 Chronicles, another one of those Lamentations books that we don't read loads. In 2 Chronicles chapter 21, we hear of Jehoram, and I hope that's pronounced correct, the king of Judah. He's a bit of a bad un, a bit of a wrong un, we would say. In verse 7, this is what it says. "Nevertheless, because of the covenant the Lord had made with David, the Lord was not willing to destroy the house of David. He had promised to maintain a lamp for him and his descendants forever. Dear men of the church, some of you have forgotten. You have forgotten that the covenant God gave you a covenant a long while ago. He has not given up on the promise. He has not given up on you. And now he wants you to rise and stand. That's also true of a lady here. And the way that covenant's going to be fulfilled is in befriending, and you know that. I want to say thank you, Robin. But if you need help, or you want to speak to someone confidentially after the service, can you speak to Robin or Richard or myself or someone you know and love and trust? We have talked about taking the walls of this church down. And just to prove you remember, who remembers that? Hallelujah, okay. That just proves my mad moment wasn't quite as mad. Do you know the truth is that a verse from Luke speaks of God's good news. Do you know who God's good news to Minehead is? You. You're it. You're plan A. Now we can all befriend. And that question, can we help? Robin's question was, do we need in the next year a CAP centre for Minehead alone? Do we need to hold on to the covenants that maybe many of us have had in our heart for years? I think the question should be reframed, Robin, sorry. Not do we need a new CAP centre for Minehead, but do we need to acknowledge what God is up to and lament if we don't do what he says and rise up? And if that means a new cap centre in Minehead, hallelujah. Incidentally, if that means 10, and that's what God wants, hallelujah. But if God wants something else, that's fine. Let's rise up. And I want you to use, if you can, Steve, sorry to interrupt in, our next hymn. And it is a hymn. An amazing hymn, yeah? Have I got amazing the right hymn? Good. An amazing hymn of response. So the truth is, when you sing Amazing Grace, whose grace and for whom? Maybe our question. It's amazing grace for the poor, those that are locked into debt problems and issues. 1/3 of all people may attempt to commit suicide. I don't know what you think about that, but I want to say not on my watch. Steve.
For joining us for this morning's service. It's been lovely to spend this time together. Thank you to Robin for coming and speaking to us. Shall we pray now as we finish? Father, we thank you for your word. Father, we thank you for the work of CAP. And Father, we pray that as we go out this week, Father, that we would know of your grace, of your love, and of the transforming power of who you are. Amen.
To leave a comment, please go to minehead-baptist.com/sermons. And if you'd like to know more about the work of CAP, you can go to their website at capuk.org. That's capuk.org. Well, thank you once again for listening, and I'll speak to you soon.